Jeremiah chapter 17. We're going to begin our reading in verse 24. And it shall come to pass, if you diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day, to do no work therein. And you know what he's saying here, this is the picture, if you rest in Christ. If you don't try to do any work to add to yourself, if you rest in Christ, then shall there enter into the gates of this city kings and princes, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses. They and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever. If you rest in Christ, you remain forever. And they shall come from everywhere, from the cities of Judah and from the places about Jerusalem, from the land of Benjamin and from the plain and from the mountains, and from the south, bringing burnt offerings and sacrifices and meat offerings and incense, and bringing sacrifices of praise unto the house of the Lord. But if you'll not hearken unto me to hallow the Sabbath day, you'll not listen to me, you'll not rest in Christ and not bear burden, even entering in at the gates of Jerusalem on the Sabbath day, then will I kindle a fire in the gates thereof, and it shall devour the palaces of Jerusalem, and it shall not be quenched. God help us to rest in Christ and to bring the sacrifices of praise into the house of the Lord. So on that note, let's lift up a sound of praise as Mike leads us in singing our call to worship.
I once was a stranger to grace and to God. I knew not my danger and felt not my load. Though friends spoke in rapture of Christ on the tree, Jehovah's Itkinu meant nothing to me. When free grace awoke me by light from on high, then legal fear shook me, I trembled to die. No refuge, no safety in self could I see. Jehovah's Itkinu, my Savior must be. My terrors all vanish before his sweet name. My guilty fears vanish, with boldness I came to drink at the fountain, life-giving and free. Jehovah's Itkinu is all things to me.
Thank you. You may be seated. Let's turn now in our hymnal to page 443. Let's sing the chorus after the even verses only, 2, 4, and 6.
For there's no word here ever heard so might see the reason we forevermore must love Him. So now upon His Father's throne, Almighty to release us from sin and pain, He ever reigns, the Prince and Savior. Shall fail us never. Today as yesterday the same, Thou art the same forever. To Jesus every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess Him, and we unite with saints and light, our only Lord to bless Him. We love to sing of Christ our King and hail Him, blessed Jesus. For there's no word here ever heard so dear, so sweet as Jesus.
Turn over to 454. We'll just sing the first three verses.
Christ has for sin atonement made. What a wonderful blood. What a wonderful Savior that reconciled my soul to God. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a from all its sin. What a wonderful Savior. And now He reigns and rules therein. What a wonderful Savior. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Jesus. What a wonderful Savior is Jesus, my Lord.
Thank you.
Our pastors asked that we read Psalm 54. Psalm 54. Save me, O God, by thy name, and judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that upholdeth my soul. He shall reward evil unto mine enemies, cut them off in thy truth. I will freely sacrifice unto thee. I will praise thy name, O Lord, for it is good. For he hath delivered me out of all trouble, and mine eye hath seen his desire upon mine enemies. Let's pray. Our God, Father in heaven, Lord, we thank thee for this opportunity to once again gather in this place. Lord, that you've called us to this place this morning. Lord, a time to sing hymns of praise. Lord, to hear thy scriptures read. Lord, a time to hear thy word preached unto us. Lord, we pray you'd bless us with your presence here this morning. Lord, bless our pastor as he stands in this place to preach thy word. Lord, that you would take that which you've laid upon his heart, or that which he studied, and Lord, bless him in preaching here this morning. Lord, that you would be pleased to speak through your servant this morning. And Lord, bless us with ears to hear. Lord, give us a teachable spirit. Lord, bless us to receive thy word. Lord, that Christ's name might be exalted in this place. And Lord, that we might truly worship thee. Lord, we thank thee that thou art God, that besides thee there is none else. Lord, that thou art sovereign in all thy ways. Lord, we thank you for these young ones you've blessed us with. Lord, we pray you'd bless them. Lord, that in your time you would reveal Christ to them, Christ in them. Lord, for those of our number who are in a time of heaviness, in a time of sickness and trouble, Lord, we pray your blessing. We pray your strength. We pray your grace upon them. Lord, that you would comfort and strengthen your people. And Lord, cause us in all things, Lord, not lean on this arm of the flesh, which we're so quick to, but Lord, that we might rest in thee, knowing that thou doest all things well. Lord, knowing that all things work together for good. Lord, to them that love thee, to them that are called according to your purpose. Now again, we pray you would, Lord, bless our worship service here this morning. Lord, set aside the thoughts and cares of this world, those things that so quickly entangle us. Lord, let us see Christ. For it's in his name we pray and give thee thanks. Amen.
I'd like for you to help me on the chorus of this song. I know you don't know it as well. It's a song by Don Fortner, but the course should be learned. It's a good course. It's not by my works, nor by my will, but by grace alone. God has saved me. I will praise Him. Praise my God alone. Not by my works, nor by my will, but by grace alone. God has saved me, and I will praise Him. Praise my God alone. Depraved in heart, in thought, in deed, I could not cease from sin. A fallen wretch of Adam's seed, my will was bound by sin. Now sing it. Not by my works, nor by my will, but by grace alone. God has saved me. I will praise Him. Praise my God alone. My God in love, eternal. Believing
Open your Bibles with me to Hebrews chapter 13. Titled the message this morning, Well-Pleasing Sacrifices. We'll read our text beginning in verse 15 and come back and make a few comments. Hebrews 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Now here we're talking about, the writer is talking about some sacrifices. But Hebrews 10 verse 26 says, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There's no more need to offer any sacrifices for sin because Hebrews 10 verse 14 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's no need for another sacrifice to be offered. God's people are already perfect. God's already satisfied by the sacrifice of Christ. So we don't need to offer any more sacrifices for sin, do we? And if we try to do that, if we try to add to Christ, add to His sacrifice, add to His obedience by something that we sacrifice in the flesh, something that we give up that our flesh finds pleasant. You know what we've done? All we've done is pollute the sacrifice of Christ. If we lift up our tool upon the altar, we looked at that altar a few weeks ago, all we've done is pollute the sacrifice. If we tried to add our works to the sacrifice of Christ, all we've done is make the sacrifice of Christ to be of no use to us. And on top of that, as if that's not enough, we have insulted God Almighty. And no true believer wants or needs any other sacrifice other than the sacrifice of Christ. That's so, isn't it? But this is also true. A believer lives a life of sacrifice in this world. Our Lord said in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. He's got to sacrifice something. He's got to deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now, a believer must live a life of sacrifice, denying ourselves. And we've got to begin with this. We've got to deny ourselves our works. We've got to deny ourselves any work that we would do that would bring us any glory or credit for salvation. We deny that. We deny ourselves that. But a believer also must deny ourselves our convenience, our comfort, our time, our money, our use of those things in God's kingdom, because faith without works is dead. There must be a life of sacrifice. Look at the book of Romans, chapter 12. The Apostle Paul tells us that sacrifice is just reasonable. After everything Christ has done for us, that's just reasonable, isn't it? Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Believers are to sacrifice our bodies, not as a burnt offering or anything like that, but we're to sacrifice our time in this body, the activities, you know, in this body. Just like I told you in the class this morning, you know, that when you choose to come here on Sunday morning, you're choosing to come here to identify with this gospel, aren't you? Well, If you're doing that with your body, with your time, you're sacrificing being able to do something else with it, aren't you? We're to sacrifice those things in the service of the Lord. Look at the book of 1 Peter. Here Peter tells us why we're able to offer sacrifices. Remember in the Old Testament, the only one who could offer a sacrifice was the high priest, wasn't it? Well, God's people have been made priests. That's why you're able to offer a sacrifice. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. Ye also, as lively, living stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices. Now, you're not talking about offering up blood sacrifices or the spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. See, every believer has been made a priest unto God, and the job of the priest is to offer a sacrifice. So you don't need a man on earth who calls himself a priest, who dresses up in a costume similar to what the high priest, you know, used to wear on the Day of Atonement, and calls himself a priest. You don't need a man to do that. You know, in the Old Testament, Israel needed Aaron to represent them before God. But now Christ has come. Christ has fulfilled that picture, and you don't need that. The Lord Jesus Christ, by his sacrifice, has enabled his people to come into the very presence of God anytime they want. You know, even Aaron could only come once a year, couldn't he? Not without blood. On the day appointed, the Day of Atonement, that's the only day he could do that. You who believe, you can come anytime you want into the very presence of God through the blood of Christ, in Christ our high priest. You who believe, you've been made a priest unto God. And you know, you have a better priesthood than Aaron did. Aaron offered sacrifices at an appointed time for a little while. Believers offer sacrifices to God continually. That's what our text says, to offer these sacrifices continually, in every circumstance, in every day, sunny or cloudy, stormy or beautiful, time of trouble down in the valley, time you're up on a mountaintop, continually. Offer these sacrifices of praise to God. Now, these sacrifices that we offer, this has to be stressed. They're not legal sacrifices. They're not sacrifices offered to atone for sin. Christ already did that, didn't he? He already atoned for the sin of his people by his sacrifices. So our sacrifices we offer are not legal sacrifices to atone for sin. The sacrifices we offer today aren't even pictures of the atonement. We're not doing something that pictures the atonement. We don't need that, do we? We have Christ. We have the real thing. So there's no more need for the picture. The only pictures that we have, and they're not sacrifices, they're pictures of Christ's sacrifice, are the two that the Lord gave us. Believer's baptism, which pictures his death, burial, and resurrection, and the Lord's table, which pictures his broken body and his shed blood. But those things that, you know, that's not a sacrifice to observe the Lord's table, is it? It's not a sacrifice to confess the Lord in believer's baptism. Those are pictures of Christ. Those are ways we confess him. And we don't offer animal sacrifices to please God. Nor do we sacrifice, give up pleasures of the flesh, trying to please God. I mean, do you really think that God will be impressed with you if you sacrifice eating meat for a few Fridays a year? I mean, really? Something that's just going to go off into the sewer? You think that's going to please God? You think it's going to please God if you give up eating chocolate for a month or, you know, whatever long that lasts? I mean, that's absurd. That's just absurd. God's only impressed by Christ. The only sacrifice he will accept is the sacrifice of Christ. So what sacrifices do we offer? What sacrifices do believers offer? And first, we got to see this. How do we offer these sacrifices? You know, the manner in which these sacrifices are offered are critical. Since God is only impressed by Christ, he's only impressed with the sacrifice of Christ, the writer tells us we offer these sacrifices by Christ. He says, by him, therefore, by Christ, therefore, let us offer these sacrifices. Now, the key to understanding the two verses in our text are the two words found in this phrase, by him. By him. Come to God by Christ. Now, this is something I tell you, I don't plan to, but it just seems like it comes out in every message. I'm going to tell you one more time. I'm going to stress to you one more time. You come to Christ. Come to Christ. Everything spiritual is found in Christ. We cannot be saved. We cannot be saved from our sin except by Christ. We cannot be made righteous except by Christ. By His obedience to law for us, not our obedience. We cannot have forgiveness of our sin except by Christ, by His blood. We cannot come to God in prayer and praise and thanksgiving. We cannot come to appear before God but by Christ, who is the only mediator between God and men. We cannot worship. Here we've come here together today to worship. You know, we cannot worship Christ, God, except in Christ. Can't be done. We can't pray. We can't preach. We can't do anything without Christ. If we would have anything spiritual, we must come to Christ. So to you here this morning who have not yet believed Christ, I tell you right now, I mean right now, without delay, right where you sit, you come to Christ. You come in your heart. You submit yourself to Him. And you who have believed Christ, don't stop now. Don't stop now. You keep believing Him. I love the way the Apostle Peter wrote to us and said, to whom coming? Constantly coming. Let us continually come to Christ. Come to Christ. Now this little word by, we offer these sacrifices by Him. That little word by has a huge meaning to our text this morning. It has several meanings. I'll give you just a few of the meanings that I found for this word by in the lexicon, the Greek and Hebrew lexicon, has this meaning. First of all, this word by means through. Through. Let us come to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us come to God through Christ's obedience. And that simply means this, pleading Christ's obedience as my obedience. Not pleading any obedience of mine, but pleading Christ as my obedience. Let's come to God. God's holy. God cannot accept us in our sin. He can't look on us in our sin. Then let's come to God for forgiveness of our sin through Christ. Through His blood that cleanses us from all sin. Let's come to God through faith in Christ. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Then let's come to God through faith in Christ. And I know that that might sound confusing. What is it to come to God through faith in Christ? You know, it's really very simple. It simply means this. Come to God believing that Christ is all it takes to save you. Come to God believing that Christ is all it takes to make you accepted by the Father. Come to God through faith in Christ, through Christ. All right, the second meaning of this word by is with. Let's come to God with Christ. Now, a believer comes to God with Christ. Whenever Christ comes before the Father, we come to the Father with Him because we're in Him. We're in Him. We do what He has done. I remember when Janet was, she was talking yesterday about being pregnant. Specifically, she was talking about being pregnant with Savannah. You know, when she was pregnant, Savannah did everything she did. Savannah ate everything she ate. She went everywhere Janet went because she's with her. She's in her. That's the way the believer comes to God, with Christ, in Him. Let's come to God because we're one with Christ. Now, how does a person become one with Christ? Well, the Father put them in Christ, in divine election. We become one with Christ by faith in Christ, being joined to Him by faith. So the believer is one with Christ. We're in Him. We're with Him. So everything He did, everything the Lord Jesus did in His earthly ministry, you did too if you believe Christ. When the believer is with Christ, in Christ, when Christ obeyed the law, so did we. We obeyed it with Him because we're in Him. When Christ pleased the Father, so did we who are in Him because we're with Him when He pleased the Father. When Christ died to satisfy the law, so did we who were in Him. That's how we're dead to the law. That's how the law has no claim on me, because I already died to the law. I already satisfied it with Christ by being in Him when He died. And when Christ arose from the dead, so did we who are with Him. Believe Him. When He arose, we did too, because we're in Him. Then let's come to God because we're one with Christ. See, Christ is the head and we're the body. Well, everywhere the head goes, the body goes, doesn't it? We go with Him because we're one with Him. So when Christ ascended back on high and sat down on the right hand of the Father, so did you, if you believe Him. That's right. Right now, where you sit in these pews, if you believe Christ, you're seated in heavenly places. And believers are so much one with Christ, you're already seated in heaven. That's what the Apostle Paul said, Ephesians 2, verse 6. God hath raised us up together and made, past tense, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. The only way that's possible is you're with Christ. In Him. That means with Christ. The third meaning of this word, by, is on account of. Now, the only reason a sinner can possibly come to God is on account of Christ. On account of who Christ is, and on account of what Christ has accomplished for His people. I can't come to God in anything I've done, but I can come to God and be accepted on account of what Christ has done for me. The Lord Jesus Christ is the Savior of sinners. And the transaction is done. He has already accomplished full, free, complete salvation for sinners. So sinners come to God on account of Christ, on account of His sacrifice for us. We come to God on account of He commanded us to come. That is your permission to come to God in Christ. He commanded you to. We come to Him on account of His commandment. Sinners come to God on account of Christ. On account of Christ is everything I need. On account of He's everything that the Father requires of me. So I come to God on account of Christ. Now the fourth meaning of this word by is for the sake of. We come to God by Christ. With this confidence, the Father will accept us for the sake of Christ. Not for the sake of anything we've done, but for the sake of Christ. And this meaning of the word by, for the sake of, this is where the manner in which we offer these sacrifices comes in. Now you think about those legal sacrifices that they offered. You know, I read on the days leading up to the Day of Atonement, that high priest went over, I mean, he just dedicated himself to doing nothing but going over and going over and going over and going over again the instructions for the Day of Atonement. You know why he did that? Because he's afraid if he made one misstep, God'd kill him. And he thought that because that's what God said. You know? Those legal sacrifices, those animal sacrifices offered under the law, the motivation to offer those things was so God doesn't kill us. I mean, God said, you know, if you don't offer this sacrifice, I'll never accept you. I'll never accept your worship. There's got to be a blood sacrifice for sin. So the high priest offered those animal sacrifices because God told him he had to. And that's a picture. God's going to send us to hell. He's going to send you and He's going to send me to hell. Unless we have a blood sacrifice to atone for our sin. It's got to be the right blood. It's got to be the right sacrifice. The sacrifice that God will accept. Well, I've already showed you. Christ offered the sacrifice for sin, didn't He? He already put away the sin of His people. So the sacrifices the writer is talking about here, they're not legal sacrifices, and they're not offered in the same manner that those legal sacrifices were offered. The sacrifices the writer is telling us about here are sacrifices of praise. They're sacrifices of thanksgiving. Now you just have to offer a sacrifice of praise with a much different motivation than one of fear, don't you? You have to. A sacrifice of thanksgiving is not something that you have to do. It's what you want to do. We offer these sacrifices in thanksgiving to God, and they're offered by Christ. They're offered for the sake of Christ. We offer these sacrifices on account of what Christ has done for His people. We offer these sacrifices on account of what Christ did for his people at Calvary. And we offer these sacrifices on account of what Christ has done for us in our hearts. We offer these sacrifices for the sake of Christ, for his glory, and for the sake, for the benefit of his people. Now, we don't offer animal sacrifices, and we don't sacrifice, give up pleasures of the flesh. So what is it we sacrifice? Now, we've seen the manner in which we make these sacrifices, offer these sacrifices, but what is it that the believer sacrifices to God that is well-pleasing? There's something we can offer that's well-pleasing to God, because that's what our text says. Well, the writer lists three sacrifices that are well-pleasing to God. And these sacrifices are sacrifices God's people offer continually. Now, you may as well start trying to find the book of Hosea. Find Ezekiel, Daniel, and Hosea. Here's the first sacrifice that we offer. It's the fruit of our lips. It's the giving thanks to the name of Christ. Now, Hosea tells us about this. You found it in Hosea chapter 14. Verse 1. I believe this will be a blessing to you. I want you to see this. He says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Now, there's a problem here. There's a separation here. We've fallen by thine iniquity. Our sins have separated us from our God, haven't they? There's a problem. We've gone away from God. But he's telling us to return. And he tells us how. Verse 2. Take with you words. And turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity. And receive us graciously. Receive us in your grace. So will we render the calves of our lips. The fruit of our lips. Now, again, don't offer these sacrifices like you're denying yourself something, you know, trying to make up for your sin. Think God's going to be pleased with that. Don't do that. God's told us how to come to him. He told us the way that he'll accept us. He said, bring with you words. Bring with you the fruit of your lips. And don't think, well, I've got to make up some words. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to tell God, God, if you'll bless me, if you'll save me, I'll quit doing this, that, or the other. Don't tell God that, because it's a lie. That's a lie. The fruit of our lips that's well-pleasing to God, that's what we're to bring to him. God told us what to say. You don't have to think up what to say. God told us what to say. Come to the Lord and say, Lord, take away my iniquity. Take it away. It's my iniquity, my guilt, it's my fault. My iniquity has separated me from God. God, would you take it away from me? I can't take it away, but you can by the blood of your Son. Lord, take away my iniquity. Lord, I know I've separated myself from you, but would you receive me? Lord, would you accept me graciously because of your grace? Would you accept me in Christ for Christ's sake, because of Christ's sacrifice? You know God will accept that. That's well-pleasing to God. Because nothing pleases God more than begging for mercy for Christ's sake. You know, those are well-pleasing words to him, because nothing pleases him more than a sinner begging for mercy for Christ's sake. And if God will have mercy on us, nobody's going to teach us these words. They'll come naturally. They'll just come from our lips naturally. This will be the natural fruit of our lips. You know why? Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. When God gives you a new heart, you'll know these words. Just inherently, you'll know these words. How to say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Oh, thank you, Lord. Give thanks to God for everything that he's done. Let that be the fruit of your lips. Thank you, Lord. Thanksgiving to God is at the very heart of worship. You can't worship without thanksgiving, can you? It's impossible to worship God without being thankful. And if God's given you a new heart, you'll be thankful. You'll worship. And if he hasn't given you a new heart, it's impossible to be thankful. You can't worship him. God, I love how simple. Is that in this week's bulletin? Where did I put my bulletin? Isn't there an article in the bulletin about, by Pastor Todd Nyrier, complex but not complicated. Oh, the gospel's complex, isn't it? But it's simple enough any of these children can understand it. It's not complicated. God removes all the complication. He tells us what to say. I love that. He tells us what to say. But, you know, you don't have to take these exact words and memorize them and repeat them like they're some sort of magic spell, because that's not going to work. Come to God using your own words. Come to God pouring out your heart, the need of your heart. Express your need to God. Express your need for the forgiveness of your sin. Just pour your heart out before God will be pleased with those words. He sure will. And you don't have to worry. You think, well, I'm not articulate enough. My words won't be good enough, and so God won't accept me. You don't have to worry about that. You come to God by Christ, He'll give you the words to say. Now you think that sounds good. Is Frank just making that up? No, I'm not. Look in Isaiah chapter 57. You come to God by Christ, He'll give you the words to say, and He'll accept them. Isaiah 57. In verse 17. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth. God's angry with the wicked. He's angry with sin. And God said, I smote him. I hid me and was wroth. And he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. Now God said, I've seen his ways. I've seen him going on frowardly in the way of his heart. I've seen him going on. I've seen him. But this is my child. God said, I've seen his ways, and I'm going to heal him. I'll lead him also. I'm going to restore comforts unto him and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. He's going to come back to me begging for mercy because I put those words in his heart. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off and him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. I'm going to heal him. He's going to come begging for mercy because I'm going to put the words in his heart. He's going to say, I'm going to give him the words, and I'll accept him. And if you look at Psalm 51, probably the clearest example in Scripture I can think of what the writer is talking about, what Isaiah was talking about here, is the example of David after he had committed adultery with Bathsheba and he had her husband Uriah killed, and he was going on forwardly in the way of his heart. He thought he got away with it. I mean, he thought he got away with it. Just God hit him. This is frightening. God hid himself from him for what, 8-9 months? David didn't know it. Didn't know it. And then Nathan came to him and laid him out. I mean, Nathan laid David out. He laid the king out. He said, David, you're the man. He exposed sin. All that sin made David so angry. David said, you show me that man, I'm going to kill him. I mean, right now I'm going to kill him. Nathan said, you're the man. Whew. Total depravity is another matter when I'm totally depraved, isn't it? And this is what we'll cry with David. Verse 1, Psalm 51. Oh, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. God, you'd be right to damn me, and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Oh, I'm so wicked. It's the only nature I have, such a wicked sin nature. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. Apply the blood of Christ to me. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Nobody had to taught David how to teach David how to beg for mercy, did he? No, and when God showed him his sin, it came naturally. And look what he says in verse 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. You're not going to delight and forgive my sin because of the burnt offering of an animal. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And God accepted him, didn't he? And God opened his mouth and wrote this psalm and all these other psalms for us to read. God opened his mouth. God accepted him. See, God broke his heart, didn't he? And then God accepted the words that came out of that broken heart, broken over sin. God gave him the fruit of his lips, and God accepted it. So we give thanks to God. We give thanks to God by Christ, on account of who Christ is, and on account of what he did for me. And we also give thanks for the sake of God's people, so they'll hear, so they can hear of Christ, and they can believe on him, and be encouraged and fed and blessed by him. God gave David these words to encourage us to come to God and say, God, oh, have mercy on me. Have mercy on me. Isn't that a blessing? That's the fruit of his lips. God accepted it. All right, the second sacrifice, back in our text, Hebrews 13. The second sacrifice that is well-pleasing to God is doing good. He says in verse 16, but to do good, to do good. Now, don't ever be mistaken about this. Believers do good works. Believers are full of good works. Now, these works are not works we do in order to be saved. If you're doing some work in order to be saved, it's an evil work. It's a wicked work, and God will not accept it. These are not works that we do in order to be saved. These are works that we do because God has saved us. See, believers do good works by Christ, by his enabling power, and on account of what Christ has done for us and in us. It's just the natural response to God's grace to do these good works. And there are a couple definitions here of good works I want you to see. Number one is this, good works. These are works that are done in thanksgiving and praise for who God is, because he has saved us by his sacrifice. Now these works, good works, they're not done to impress men. If you are doing something to impress men so they'll think highly of you, that's an evil work. God will not accept it. Men might be impressed, but God won't. And do you know often works that are truly good works don't impress men at all? That's right. And I can show you that. Look at Mark chapter 14. Often good works are works that don't impress men at all. But yet they're still done by Christ, on account of Christ our Savior and his sacrifice for us. And here's a beautiful illustration of this. Mark 14, verse 3. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman, having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And she brake the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves and said, why is this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and had been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. My soul, they murmured against her. Men often are not impressed by a good work, are they? And this was a good work. And I'll read on. I'll show you why I know this is a good work. Verse 6. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work. The Lord said, this is a good work. She wrought a good work on me. On me. You fellows are murmuring against it, and this is a good work. For you have the poor with you always. And whensoever you will, whenever you want to, you may do them good. But me you have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Now see, here's this good work. She's doing it because of the sacrifice of Christ. Somehow this woman knew the Lord's getting ready to be crucified. He's going to die. They're going to take his body away, and I'm not going to be able to get to it. You know, that time they anointed the body, you know, before they buried it, and she thought, I'm not going to be able to get to it. Somehow she knew something about the sacrifice of Christ. She knew it was imminent, and she came to anoint his body. This good work was done because of the sacrifice of Christ. Do you see that? And look what the Lord says here in verse 9. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. This work she did gave such a clear declaration of the gospel of Christ, Everybody who ever preaches the gospel is going to say the same thing she did. Talk about the sacrifice of Christ. That's a good work. A work done for the glory of Christ, out of the motivation of His sacrifice for my sin. And second, good works are works that are done for the sake of Christ, for the sake of His body, which is His people. You remember in Matthew chapter 25, the Lord put the sheep on His right hand, the goats on His left, and He separated them. And He started talking to them, didn't He? And the Lord told His people on His right hand, He told them about all their good works. And they didn't even know they did them. They didn't even know. They said, Lord, when do we see You hungry and feed You? When do we see You thirsty? I never saw You thirsty. When I give You a cup of water? When did I see You a stranger and take You in, or naked and clothed You? When were You in prison and I visited You? I don't ever remember doing anything like that. And our Lord said, inasmuch as You've done it to one of the least of these, My brethren, You've done it to Me, to My body. Now, good works are works that you do to help one another. Right here. That's a good work to help the body of Christ. And you know, we have visitors. We're going to have a Bible conference here before too awful long. We have visitors. We're going to be so happy to see them and take care of them. Take care of them. We have a visiting preacher here. If I'm gone somewhere preaching or on vacation or something, we have a visiting preacher here. You take care of that man. You take care of his family. You make sure his needs are met. Usually I try to make sure, you know, I ask somebody, can you take him out to make sure they got something to eat? If old Frank forgets, just do it. Just you make sure they're taken care of. But I tell you what, don't wait till the conference. Don't wait till you see some visitors here today. Here you are. Take care of one another. Take care of one another. Find it a joy to take care of God's children. That's a good work. That's well-pleasing to God. Just take care of one another. And the third sacrifice is well-pleasing to God is communicating. The writer here says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Don't forget to communicate, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Now, this word communicating, it means to give. It means to have fellowship and share with one another because we're one. Now, Christ our Savior, He set the example here at me. Hasn't He communicated to His people? He's communicated so He has fellowship with us. You think the Savior, right here, right now, where His gospel is being preached, is right among us, having fellowship, communion with us. He's communicated His righteousness to His people by giving His obedience to His people. So His obedience is their obedience. Believers are partakers of the divine nature because we're one with Christ. That's what Christ has communicated, what He's done in His people. So by Christ, on account of what Christ has done for us, let's communicate to one another. Let's give of our money. Let's give of our time and our talents to support the gospel. And do it, not because you're trying to get something from God, but because God's already blessed you. Do it out of a thankful heart on account of what Christ has done for us and in us. And if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8, I'll show you an example of this. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit. We want you to know of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. How that in great trial of affliction. Here they're under great trial of affliction. And Paul's saying God's grace has been so richly bestowed upon them. Yeah. How that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. For their power, their ability, I bear record. Yea, and beyond their power, they gave. They were willing of themselves to give, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship. That word fellowship is the exact same word translated communicating in our text. That they would take upon us the fellowship, the communicating, the giving of the ministering to the saints. They told Paul, let us have a part in this. Let us have fellowship in this, in communicating, taking up this offering to give to God's people who are in worse shape than we are. There are more need than we are. Yeah, we're in trouble. We're in deep poverty. But we're taking up this offering. We want you to send it to them. We want to communicate, to give to them, to help them. And you know what? They did that. They gave that gift by Christ, on account of Christ. Because look at verse 5. And this they did. This is how they gave. Not as we had hoped. I mean, Paul said we kind of expected them to take up an offering, but nothing near like what they gave. Here's why they did that. First, they gave their own selves to the Lord. I mean, they gave their selves to the Lord. If I give myself to the Lord, all my money's His, all my family is His, all my food is His, all my everything you got in the kitchen is it's not ours, it's His. Because we've given ourselves to Him. See, they gave that on account of Christ, for Christ's sake, and God loves a cheerful giver just like that, who gives to support the gospel, who gives not just money, but also time and talents and effort to help the brethren, to do what he can so others can hear the gospel. Now, if you're going to live like that, you're going to live a life of sacrifice like that, you're going to have to sacrifice. If you're going to give money like that, you're going to have to sacrifice buying some other things. You just got a finite amount of money. You got a finite amount of time. If you're going to give your time to the tenants of the worship service and have fellowship with other believers, well, then you're going to have to sacrifice doing something else. I mean, you just got a finite amount of time. And the only way you can live a life like that, a sacrifice like that, is by Christ, by Him. 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be rich. He became poor of righteousness when He was made sin for His people. He became poor of union with His Father. The Father turned His back on Him. My God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? He became poor of life, dying the death that His people deserve. Why did He do that? That you, His people, through His poverty might be made rich. If that doesn't motivate you to want to give and take care of one another, nothing will. Nothing will. Now, I want to give you an example in closing. Maybe this will kind of help you remember and be helpful to you. I remember when our girls were little. And, you know, you might think, okay, well, these sacrifices. Well, I'd like to give, but I don't have anything to give. And what I have to give is so little. It's so childlike. It's just so feeble. God can't be pleased with anything that I can give. Well, you remember that woman that brought that alabaster box of ointment? What did the Lord tell His disciples? Don't you murmur at her. She did what she could. You just do what you can. I don't care if it's childlike. I don't care if you think it's small. You do what you can. Here's my illustration. I remember when our girls were little things, especially like primary school. I guess they still do this. They would, around the holidays, Christmas or Father's Day and Mother's Day, and they set up these little stores in the school. You know, everything in there cost 50 cents or a dollar or something. And it was their class's day to go shop, you know, with this thing. And mommy and daddy were going, so we'd pull out money. We'd give them money to go to this store to buy us something. They bought it, a gift for us, with our money. It cost a dollar. It cost 50 cents. And they'd wrap those things up. Christmas time, they'd wrap them themselves. They'd put them under the tree. Oh, they're so excited. They could not stand to wait. So they give us a gift. And that little gift that cost a dollar was so, oh, it was well-pleasing. I was well-pleased with every single one of them. Colleen went to one of those little stores one day. She's a little thing. She bought, it couldn't have cost much. It's just about that big. It's a tape measure. Says the world's greatest uncle. Colleen, I have it at my desk. Every time I open my drawer, I see that. And I just, every time I got to measure something, you know, right there, I just use that because I'm so well pleased with that gift that little girl gave me. And it's not the amount of money that was spent on it. It was the motive. They were so excited to give. Our girls are grown now. They got husbands. They all got pretty good jobs, you know. And come Christmas time, they buy us more expensive gifts. Aaron and I talked about this. Aaron, we just don't even buy us nothing. We just save your money. Use it to build your life. But they always take that and buy us something, you know. And those gifts are nice. They're useful. They cost a whole lot more money, you know, what they did when they went to primary school. I'm not more pleased today than I was then. Because it's not how much money they spent on it. It's not, they're still excited to give. And that's well-pleasing to Daddy, well-pleasing to Mama. The motivation of what you give in your heart, that's what God sees. That poor widow woman put in two mites. The Lord stood there watching her. I put their tithes, their offerings, whatever in. She put in two mites. Nothing. Worthless. Other people put in great big old checks, big amounts of money. And the Lord just told his disciples, see that woman? She gave more than all. He was so well pleased with that because her motive. It was from the heart. Oh, it was by Christ, on account of Christ, for his sake. For the sake of his people, for the sake of his glory, and God was well pleased. So let's offer the sacrifices of praise, the fruit of our lips, giving thanksgiving to God. Let's do good. Let's communicate with such sacrifices, God's well pleased, when they're offered for Christ's sake. All right. I hope the Lord bless that to you. Let's bow together. Our Father, how we thank you for your word. How we thank you for your clear instruction to your people. How we thank you for a clear declaration of the sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ that has put away the sin of his people. And Father, we're thankful. And Father, I pray that you give us a heart that would believe Christ and love Christ and enable us to act upon that love, offering these sacrifices of praise and thanksgiving. Let us never forget to stop and say thank you. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. Thank you, Lord, for all your provision of this life. Everything we have you gave us, we're thankful. Enable us to do good, to serve and help one another for Christ's sake, because of what Christ has done for us. Cause us to communicate, to give and help and have fellowship one with another for Christ's sake. Father, we thank you. Bless your word, I pray, to your glory and to the hearts of your people. It's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For his sake, we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, Mike, you come lead us in a song, if you would.
Let's stand and sing 464 in our great hymns of faith. 464. We'll do the chorus after the odd verses this time. 1, 3, and 5.
When I saw the cleansing fountain open wide for all my sins, I obeyed the Spirit's wooing when he said, wilt thou be clean? I will praise him. I will praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory. His blood can wash away each stain. Though the way seems straight and narrow, all I claimed was swept away. My ambitions, plans, and wishes at my feet in ashes. God's fire upon the altar of my heart was set aflame. I shall never cease to praise him. Glory, glory to his name. I will praise him. Praise him, praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give him glory, all. He's forgiven my transgression. He has cleansed my heart from sin. Glory, glory to the Father. Glory, glory to the Son. Glory, glory to the Spirit. Glory to the Three in One. I will praise Him. I will praise Him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. Give Him glory, all ye people, for His blood can wash away.